greet someone as you take a seat. And why don't we give the creative team a hand? They're brilliant. And I'm looking forward to this morning's message. She's literally one of my favorite speakers. She's a very, very wise woman, this woman. If you get to sit opposite her, which I do quite often, not in a counseling session, but I feel like it is every time I talk with her. I pity Dave. Dave is only the man that he is because he has a full-time counselor and his wife, Mona. And behind every good man is a great woman. But she's got great wisdom, and I love it when she gets in and starts talking about us, our human reactions, and brings in the Word of God. So why don't we give her a huge round of applause, invite Mona to come and share right now.
Thanks, guys. I think Pastor Andrew actually counsels me, to be honest. How you doing, church? Wow, it's just gone really quiet. Don't you just love the way God just drenches us in his presence during the worship? I'm just recovering, actually, to be honest. I thought I was going to fall over there during worship. So thanks, guys, the creative team. You guys are amazing. You do an amazing job week after week. And it's only that you seek after the heart of God in your own time, and that you can come and you can lead us in the way that you do. It's just awesome. Can we just pray? Is that all right? Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise for who you are, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being called your children, Lord God, and for the privilege of having, the body, Father, that we can come together as a body on a Sunday morning, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word, Father God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you want to speak to us this morning, Father. And so, Lord, we just come before you with open hearts and open ears, Father, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would just lead us, each and every one of us, Lord, in our individual place where we're at, Father God, and just to receive from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning, I thought it would be good to talk about identity. I've been doing a bit of a theme with building resilience through different things, building resilience through grace. And so this morning, I want to look at building resilience through identity. Does that sound all right? Okay. I'm just going to ask my lovely daughter to just play this really quick short video for us. Let's just have a look at the screen, guys. Good stuff. Thank you. Awesome. How cool is that? I love that video because it represents our identity as individuals and also our identity as a church. Who knows that we do have two forms of identity? And that is it, that we have our own personal identity that is a God-given identity. And as I said, that also that of the church, who we are as a church, which is really important to know who we are in both of those situations. So we've been looking at some different things in terms of identity. We've looked at the Jahari window, and we've looked at the internal family systems theory, which is the parts. Remember that one? Who was here for that? Yep. So I'm going to just have a look at that again. I just want to break it down just a little bit more. So I'm going to ask my lovely daughter again just to put that little diagram up. How awesome is Rachel, everyone? Isn't she just the best? She does so many things. I don't know how she does it. Okay, so this is the diagram of the internal family systems theory. Does it look a bit familiar? So this makes up a life. Okay, this is a person. And as I mentioned last time, there are different parts within us. Each of us are made up of different parts. And all of those parts have a role. In the centre of those parts is what's known as self. Okay, now, this is a psychologist theory, but you know what, guys? All truth is God's truth, amen? All truth is God's truth. And the guy that actually developed this theory acknowledges that part of the process of this theory has already been happening on a spiritual level through, lots of different faiths and whatnot. So that's pretty awesome, isn't it? It's good when they acknowledge it. They actually go, hey, look, I've come across this, but, you know, I think it's kind of been happening. It just hasn't been broken down. And it's been happening through people's spiritual experiences. So so let's have a quick look at this again. So we looked at the three outside parts, and the exile part down the bottom, this is where our painful emotions live, okay? This is where, we kind of isolate from the conscious self, and we try and protect the rest of the system through doing that. It's where we find things like rage, you know, anger, depression, fear, shame, loneliness, and so on. So they're the exiles. And the other two parts, the managers and the firefighters, are the protectors of the exiles. You with me? I know we did this before, but, you know, it's good to kind of just break it down a little bit because I don't think I did last time. So the managers, and all this is meant to kind of function really quite well. It's all about protecting the inner self, okay? And it's amazing the way the human mind is, how it works, and how we've been created, because we've been created by amazing God. But even in our sin nature, we have this ability to be able to kind of make things sort of function in a way, even though it might not be necessarily functional, it functions just the same. So the manager, the job of the manager is to protect the system, okay, and attempts to keep the person in control of situations. So this can be, you know, in relationships or what have you. And the way it protects the system is that it kind of it suppresses the exile bits. So it just kind of keeps it down there and says, hey, just stay in control. Don't make yourself look silly. You just need to control yourself. And this is where the self-critic and the judge comes in as well. It's like, you know, when you hear things in your head like, oh, you know, you're silly. You're an idiot. You're silly. Just be quiet. Okay? So it doesn't sound very nice, but it's actually trying to protect that vulnerable part by kind of suppressing it. Is that making sense? So that's the other part of us. And then there's what's known as the firefighter. And the firefighter also has a role in protecting the system. And it does that when the exiles get a little bit triggered. So when we start to feel the exiles kind of coming through. You with me? So feelings of hurt, pain, anger, rejection, whatever it might be. And so what the firefighters do is they either distract or try and smooth things out a little bit. So they'll go, oh, don't worry about that. Look, come over here. Go and eat a chocolate bar or go shopping or, you know, something that, you know, we humans tend to do to try and kind of self-soothe or, you know, distract ourselves from the hurt and the pain. And there's so many other things that, you know, sleep, exercise, shopping, watching TV, all that stuff is like, you know, distracting and self-soothing type of behaviour. And so the firefighters do that in order to try and protect and guard those areas that are so vulnerable and hidden. And at the centre is, of course, as I mentioned, self. And this is what we know as our identity in God, amen? And how he created us to be, who he created us to be. It is at the centre and it represents our inner being, our inner man, in the way that God created us. And within that is where we find all the good stuff, you know, that God intended for us to have. But you can see the self is kind of a bit squished and pushed and shoved around a little bit. So instead of being a nice whole, it's kind of, you know, a different shape. And so what happens is, now according to the psychology of this, all the parts kind of hang out together and they get to know each other and then they create some sort of an inner peace, right? That's the psychology. Which is all very nice, but it really doesn't. It doesn't bring transformation. You know, there might be a more harmonious kind of thing going on the inside, but it does not bring transformation and it does not release the self. It does not release the self. Because ideally the way God created us is that self should be the whole circle, right? And within that is where Jesus lives. That's, you know, right at the center of our heart, in our innermost being and where that still small voice is that we hear, right in the middle, and that's where Jesus is. So what do we do with that? We know as Christians, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we often feel a bit insecure, don't we? Does anyone feel insecure sometimes? Is it just me? I think maybe it might be just me and a couple of people. But anyway. So those who hide it best often feel it most. How's that? But our insecurity is an invitation from God to escape the danger of false beliefs about who we are and find true peace in who he is. So we can't really identify our true self until we identify who he is and understand who he is and know who he is. And it's through that process that you know, God begins to do a work of a healing work within us. And that self part becomes our identity in God. And, you know, identity is a gift. It's a gift because each one of us has an individual identity. Yours is not the same as mine. And, you know, it's a gift in that it's incredibly unique and it makes up who we are according to how God created us to be. Amen? So at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is to receive a new identity in Christ. We do not lose our true self, but we become our true selves only in him. So how do we do that? We need more of him and less of us. Because all those little parts You know, they're working away and there's a whole system going on. There's a big process happening on the inside of us. And in through that, we're hearing voices in our mind all the time about, don't do this, you're silly, you're, you know, blah, 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 don't say that, you're going to sound stupid, whatever you might be hearing, okay? And I lost my train of thought. Anyhow, but the more we focus on who God is, the less of that we start to focus on. That's it. That's my point. So rather than focusing on what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, what's going on inside of me, I'm listening to what God is saying. Okay, and I'm hearing His voice speaking to me, my true self, and who He created me to be. Amen? So the more we fill ourselves with His truth regarding who we are in Him, the more we feed truth to self, and the less we feed sin, false truths, the more true identity grows. That makes sense? So it's a little bit like that old thing, you know, like if you... oh, no, I won't use that one. That's actually really bad. You don't want to know what's in my mind. But, you know, if you feed something, it grows, right? If you starve it, it shrivels up, okay? So the more we feed our spirit with the things of God, the greater the self grows, the more of that little self space begins to grow out and push. I wish I had a diagram. To just push those green bits further and further to the edge, to the point where they become small and less significant. And the self, which is where the sense of identity in God is and our sense of security becomes bigger. Amen? So how do we do that? There's lots of different ways, but one of the most powerful ways is to confess scripture and over ourselves, declare it over who we are, over our lives, and fill our hearts with that good stuff. Okay? And there's so much of it. You know, if you look through or if you just Google, identity statements or biblical identity statements or identity statement scriptures, and lots of stuff come up. And so rather than allow the lovely managers and firefighters, as much as they're trying to help us, they do mess things up a little bit. So rather than hear them, we're constantly hearing the words of God, and you know, and that's bringing healing and restoration to those exiles and expanding the self. Are you with me? So you know, identity statements. You know, I have been redeemed through Jesus. I'm saved by grace. I am God's masterpiece. I've been created in His image. God gives me the victory. I have the mind of Christ. I am qualified in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. All of that's good stuff, you know, and there's so much power in declaring that stuff. And I think a couple of weeks ago, we heard Pastor Andrew preach on the power of the word, the spoken word, and the power of the tongue. And so when we what we declare is what actually we about ourselves is what we become. Cool. Okay, so that's the self identity, and I just want to have a quick look at us as a church and our identity as a church. Is that all right? It's so important for us to actually know who we are as a church, what we represent in this world. Amen. And, you know, we've looked at the reasons how that partly that can come together internally as we come together as a church, and we get to know more about who we are and we grow and mature in God. And as Ephesians 4:14 says, then there will be no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Oh, that's what's out there, guys. And so that's important. You know, again, we looked at two different various ways of doing that. We looked at the Jahari window, etc. But, you know, guys, there's a real acceleration. I don't know about you guys, but I'm noticing a real acceleration in radical secular movements through the earth. And the freedom that we have to worship Jesus and teach the word of God is being challenged every day. And the church has been, I think we're kind of waking up now, but lulled into a bit of a sleep and in many cases, oblivious to the raging battle against its existence. And, you know, there are people in Parliament that are trying to wipe out Christianity, guys. I mean, that may not be new to some of you, but sometimes we get so acclimatized to things and we kind of, you know, just hear things and we go, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's like we need an awakening as a church. We need an awakening to be able to actually discern the times and what's going on around us. Amen. So don't worry, I'm not doing end time stuff. But I have to say, I have had within my heart a heaviness in terms of what is going on out there. And, you know, our leaders, our Prime Minister is out there declaring and encouraging the nation to kind of ignore God in their thinking. Are you with me? So this is our Prime Minister. This is my Prime Minister. He's out there and he's representing our nation. And he's basically saying, hey, let's just go godless. Like, obviously, that's not what he says, but he may as well say that, yeah? And it was, I found it a little bit kind of a bit heavy. And I thought, Lord, these are the people in government. These are the people that you've put over a nation. And, you know, what do we do with this? And then I was reading in Acts 12, 21 to 23 and had a little bit of a giggle. Because it was, you know, I won't go into it, maybe read it and you'll kind of get the background of it. But Peter is in prison and he gets miraculously set free by an angel of God. And there's all this kerfuffle and stuff that goes on. And then King Herod gets up on an appointed day wearing his royal robes. Just trying to imagine the government and their cohorts, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. Verse 22 says, the people shouted. So I'm trying to deliver this so that it impacts you the way it impacted me. So the people, he's talking and he's addressing and he's doing the royal thing and the people are shouting, yay. And they're saying, well, this is no voice of a man. This is the voice of a God. This is what they're saying, right? But then in verse 23 it says, immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, he did not acknowledge God in his speech, an angel of the Lord struck him down. And he was eaten by worms. And he died. How awesome is our God? I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to have this heavy heart because we serve an amazing God. Amen. And so, not that I wish that on our Prime Minister, but, you know. So the Word of God tells us that in latter days, what we can expect, right? However, it is vital for us as Christians to discern the times according to Scripture. So this whole notion of world peace and people living in peace and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, it's not going to happen, guys. I'm sorry, but it's just not going to happen. Do you know why it's not going to happen? Because the Bible tells us that those that are perishing, that are of this world, do not understand the things of the Spirit, and nor can they kind of be one. And so there's always going to be this resistance. There's always going to be a resistance. There's always going to be turmoil and disagreement and what have you. And so to expect peace in the world, it's not going to happen. Certainly not before Jesus comes back anyway. Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, do you get me? Yeah, okay. So does that mean that there's no point kind of declaring God's truth? That, you know, it's pointless because the people of the world are perishing, they don't get it, they don't understand, the word of God is like foolishness to them. So does it mean that there's no point declaring the truth? Of course not. I was going to say, of course there is, but of course not. Why? Because there's a harvest. There is a harvest that is ripe and ready. And there are so many out there that God has chosen that are just on the edge. They're just standing on the edge, particularly in today's kind of climate. People are so confused. Has anyone noticed that? People are so confused. That's why it's so important to know who we are and who we are as a church out there as well. So they're confused. They're on the edge. They're on the edge of truth, what is true and what is untrue. They're on the edge between despair and joy. They're on the edge between life and death. And that's why we should never stop declaring truth and declaring the word of God and give up, because there's people out there that are just ready. The harvest is ripe, the word of God says. So I just want to read just a few verses in 1 Corinthians 2. If you guys have got your Bibles, I just want to read through this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through to 16. It says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So those that are saved have had this mystery revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And that's why out there, Christianity is foolishness to the world. It's just foolishness. They just think, why would you think about other people? You don't think about yourself. What are you doing? What do you mean you volunteer at church? Why would you do that? They don't get it. It's just foolishness to them. And this is the difference between understanding our identity in who we are and who we are in God, and why it doesn't work out there. It just doesn't mix, and it never will mix. And it's important for us to recognize that. Sorry, so I'll just continue. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." How cool is that? Guys, we're not like those people out there. We're not like them. We are a royal priesthood and a holy nation according to the word of God. And so we just don't, things don't mix out there. It's like oil and water. It's like trying to have a debate with someone about whatever it might be. They don't get it. They don't hear it. They don't hear because their eyes are closed. But it's those that God has called the harvest. They're the ones that may just hear it and respond. Amen? Lost where I was. This is what we speak, not in the words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not as subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How cool is that? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off all restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So when we see people out there casting off restraints, in other words, doing what they feel like doing, this feels good, I want to do it, I don't care. I want to have that, so I'm going to have it. It's all about me. It's all about me being happy, isn't it? It's all about me being happy. Isn't it all about me enjoying my life and, I only get one life. I'm going to just do whatever I want. And then you bring across the Christian principles, and they just look at you and go, what? Why would you do that for? And it's because they do not have the revelation. They have not been privileged with or entrusted with the truth of the Spirit. Amen? So, guys, we're pretty special in here. Do you know that? You guys are dangerous. You are. You're dangerous because you walk in the authority of God and then you have the mind of Christ and the mysteries of the kingdom have been revealed to us. Amen? And it's so important for us to understand that who we are as a church, and what that represents out there in the world. It's so important. And to be mindful to not allow, us to get kind of diluted out there. You get what I'm saying? Young guys, I really feel for you because there's so much pressure. I mean, it was bad when I was young, and that was, donkeys ago. Before I got saved, I had no idea who I was. Absolutely none whatsoever. I was who people told me I was. And most of that was really negative. I got told, I won't go into my testimony, but the stuff that was spoken over my life was not pretty. It was not pretty. And it was all the way from, infants all the way through to when I finished high school. And then a little bit more after that as well. I had no idea. And so my thinking was, hey, I just need to feel like I'm okay. So if I just do what other people are doing, if I just kind of get with them and just copy what they do or try and maybe even outdo them. I used to try and outdo people. So whoever did the worst thing in my group, I would do worse. And I'd be like, hey, I'm cool. I'm one of you. But, deep down inside, I hadn't been saved yet, but I knew that I wasn't being true to myself. But I was stuck in this thing up here. And there was that inner self saying, this isn't right, but I didn't really know what that was. And so when I was saved, it was amazing. I had the most amazing transformation because I went to, what's that term, from zero to hero? Not that I was a hero, but Jesus was my hero. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I've been fooled all these years. I've been fooled all these years. The truth is, I'm a child of God. I've been created in His image with a purpose and a destiny. You know, I have an inheritance. I've been given authority through His name. You know, just all this stuff. And I was so angry with the devil. I hated his guts. I thought, all these years, you've just made me think so lowly of myself. I mean, I was suicidal, you know, at times. Hello. What's your name? It's pretty good looking, hey? Sorry, I'm sorry. He is looking good though, isn't he? Yeah. Sorry, hon, he's going to kill me. sorry, it was a serious moment. I was talking about being suicidal. You know, I love that I can just, you know, that doesn't impact me anymore. You know, all that stuff has no effect on me whatsoever. I can think back on my past and I've had some pretty nasty stuff happen to me. And you know what? It was like, you know, I don't forget it. I know it existed and it was there. But what it did is it drove me with a passion to have a heart for people who are in that same place, that are so broken and devastated and chained up within themselves and confused about who they are and their identity, you know. And because you know what? It's like when you hear the truth, it is so true what the Word of God says, as if you didn't know that. But the truth does set you free. It sets you free. And so identity, guys, is vital for us as Christians. We need to know now more than ever who we are as individuals and who we are as a church. Amen. Timothy, sorry, I'll just read this verse. 2 Timothy 3:2. People will be lovers. This is about our current times, where we are at today. And remember that we were all born for such a time as this. Amen? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy. So that's what's going on in the world. That's the spirit that is trying to force itself on anyone and anyone. You know, as Christians, we're kind of in the firing line a little bit more as well. Did you know that? The devil would love nothing more than to bring, you know, the people of God down. Because when he brings us down, what happens? We become ineffective, we isolate, we lose our edge. And, you know, church, each single one of us can't afford to lose our edge. We need to be out there, we need to be strong, and we need to know who we are. Amen. Okay, I'll stop there because it's out of time. You know what? I'm just so thankful that Jesus called me. I'm just so thankful. And it was such a huge, huge turnaround in my life. It was amazing. I was running around sobbing, apologizing to everybody. I'm so sorry for being silly and being an idiot. Because you know what? I wasn't being who God knew who I was, but I wasn't being that person. And I'm just glad I was. Anyway, it was amazing. It was really amazing. So, guys, I'm just going to ask you to stand this morning and we're just going to finish up. I just want to give an opportunity for anyone who's here this morning who hasn't experienced what I just talked about being saved and hearing the truth and being set free. And, you know, if that's you this morning, just want to give you an opportunity in this house. I'm just going to ask everyone to close their eyes, please. Just give you an opportunity this morning that if you're here and you are thinking, wow, I'd really love to experience that. I want to know who I am. I want to know the truth of my identity. I want to know who God created me to be. And, you know, if you're here this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand just really quickly. And also, if you're here and you have a relationship with God and you've had that experience of salvation, but you've slipped back a bit, you know, and you need to kind of just really renew that declaration to Jesus about your relationship with Him and your identity in Him and who you are in Him. If you're in this house this morning and you'd like to rededicate your life this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Anyone this morning that would like to rededicate their life to God this morning? Awesome. Okay. We're just going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Is that okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you've taken all of my pain, my sin, to the cross, and that you have given me the opportunity for salvation, to have a relationship with you, to repent of all of my wrongdoing, and to commit myself to you afresh this morning. I love you, God. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful. That great peace in this place. Amen. God is for you. That was beautifully explained. Other way Mona talks, I feel like I'm in a counseling session, don't you? I feel like I'm in a lounge and she's just speaking into my life. So now in God to speak in your life. You know, isn't it? She very, very beautifully explained how God works in our lives. True? To quiet down that inner turmoil and just fill it with God's word and His wisdom. Amen? I've noticed I got saved at 21 over the years and just the battles I used to have, the battles I don't have now. And some of you, you know, the battles when you walk into a room, the thoughts that you have, or when you find yourself in somewhere uncomfortable, the thoughts that you have, if you allow God, He'll bring a stop to that. And you'll walk into a place and you'll just, all you'll feel is the sense of the presence of God, knowing who you are. Amen? When you've got someone as amazing as God and you've got a revelation that He loves you, you can go anywhere and be anything. True? If you've got amazing parents that love you, you're on a fantastic start. But when you get that revelation of that there's a God that loves you 24/7, there's nothing you can't do. Amen. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. And God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for using Mona and speaking into our lives and just revealing how you're working in and through our lives for us as a church and for us as individuals, God. God, let us be protected against that which is not true. Let truth reign in our hearts and our homes, in this church. Let us stand for you, God, and for your word, for the way you designed us and the way you designed us to live. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, well, on that beautiful note, we might leave it there. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to meet you for a coffee, but hang around for a chat and head into our cafe. God bless you.